Let's all stand to our feet. I need you to go to two places this morning. We're going to go to both of them now because of time, and I want to get to you. So you need to go to Acts chapter 4. We're going to go to the book of Acts today. The book of Acts chapter 4. Put a bookmark there, and then go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're in a series called Fill to Spill, and we're talking about the 9 messy miracles, the gifts of the Spirit. The 9 messy miracles, which are the 9 gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, how they can be messy. The Holy Spirit is messy, but he will bring a miracle if we can hang on to the mess. Amen. We're going to preach that and talk about that. And then Acts chapter 4 is going to show us these power gifts in action. We're gonna learn how to create an atmosphere for these gifts to operate in our lives. Sound very excited about that this morning. So Acts chapter 12 tells us this, and in Acts 4, how many are ready to go? Say, if you're ready, I'm ready. If not, say, wait a minute. I couldn't understand you, so I'm going. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, it says, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I want you to know about spiritual gifts, he says. We talked about this last week. You know about John 3:16 and Jesus dying on the cross? Well, Paul said, I need you to know about these spiritual gifts. They're available for you and for me to carry out the mission of the church. It's not just for some churches. It's not just for some elders or pastors. This gift is for you. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, this Holy Spirit is for you and for your children and for all those who are afar off. That's for us. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. So it can be confusing when you learn about the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so look at verse 6, look at verse 4. There are diversities of various gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord Jesus. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God. You can see the Trinity at work in the gifts. You see the Trinity at work right here in the gifts. We're discussing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that works these in our life. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's not just for you and I to hang on to. It's for us to use it for the body of Christ. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit. We talked about them last week. Those are revelation gifts. To another, faith. This is the gift of faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. That's the power gifts, and we're going to talk about them today. Now, I want you to go over to Acts chapter 4, and you can see them in action. The early church here just did a miracle. A man was healed, and it just caused a circus. People were just going nuts. This man went running into the church, leaping because he was healed. And it made a mess, but there was a miracle. And so the people got together and put these Peter and them in the jail for creating this mess. And so verse 23, watch this, being let go, they went to their own companions. Soon as they got out of jail, they went right back to their church. Do you have a circle of faith that you can rely on and that can help you in times of trouble? You need a circle of faith. You need people that are of like-minded faith that can help you. And they went right to them and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said. So when they heard this, watch this, they raised their voice to God, and with one accord, that means in unity, they said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth. Look at this prayer. You are God who made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David had said. And then they quoted Psalms chapter 2. We'll come back to that. Verse 29. Now, Lord, they're still praying. Lord, look on their threats. Look at what they're doing. Look at what they've done to us. And grant to your servants that with all boldness that we may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal. There's a power gift. And that signs and wonders, power gifts, look at that, might be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Now watch this. Everybody say watch. When we pray and when we go and we ask God for something like this, and when we go into our community in a couple of weeks, that's why we're calling it watch. Watch what God does. Watch how he responds when he can find some people that are hungry and open to what he wants to do in our life. This is how God responded. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Thank you for your word, oh Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word. Have your way in this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give somebody a high five and say, I'm ready to make a mess this morning. I'm ready to make a mess this morning. Amen. Some of you may not know how to take that, but amen, you're going to find out. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're filled to spill. Spilling's going to make a mess. The work of the Holy Spirit, he is messy, but he always will bring us to a place where miracles are. There's always miracles there, you know, where there are messes. And a lot of people get nervous about the Holy Spirit because he gets sometimes too messy. But we like things that are organized, and we like things that are just informational, and we like things that are just nice and tidy is the word. And what happens when even denominations or even people that start out with the Holy Spirit and start out loving Jesus and have the power of the Holy Spirit in their life and everything is so new and they're so excited, what can happen is we can drift back to the old ways of doing things, and we start trying to do what God wants us to do in our own strength, in our own energy, and we start getting tired and burned out, and anxiety steps in, and we're weak, and we're falling into temptation. And all that. What's the cure? The cure is to get filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. But over here is the working of the Holy Spirit. He's not real tidy all the time. He's over here, you got fire and you got oil and you got wind and you got the power. This is the mighty Holy Spirit, and you can't contain him and you can't put him in a box. He wants to move and have his way in our life. So how do you get that? You got to want the Holy Spirit. You got to want God to, just like these apostles and this early church did. They were like, God, use us. Bring a change into our life. But many get nervous because the Holy Spirit does bring, he's a mess. Because change is messy. Change is messy. And what you see in the book of Acts, what you see in Corinthians, is you see people that, you know, are wanting to live for the Lord, and they learn about the ways of God. And so when the Holy Spirit gets involved, he begins to go to work in their life, but it is a little bit messy. You ever have a renovation done in your house? Like when we renovated the building, and when you came in here, when we first started renovating, there was some old carpet up there that had been stained and flooded and all messed up. There were some mold behind the walls. There were some door frames that were weak. There were some other walls that were perfectly fine, but they didn't fit the new vision of what we wanted to use it for. And if you would have came in during that renovation, like some people did, we had a visiting pastor came, and he was like, man, he's seen the renovation. He saw the mess. He said, I hope y'all know what you're doing. I said, I hope we do too, brother. But if you hang on through the renovation, if you hang on during the mess, you saw in the grand opening, and even now you can walk up there and you see the new walls and the new carpet, and you start saying, oh, because it can even look like in the middle of renovation, like we don't even, like you've been forgotten, like God doesn't, you know, what is God doing in my life? You know, what is happening in my life? You know, he's getting involved, you know, in my heart, and he's going deep, and he's wanting to change, you know, some of the foundations in our life of what we've been building our life on. He's wanting to rearrange that. Some of us have built the wrong foundations, and we put walls up to protect us, but it's really becoming a prison. And we've got things in our life, and that doesn't fit what God wants us to do. If we would just trust him and let him go to work and do what he wants to do in our lives, you and I will be so blessed and happy to see the finished production, the finished work when it's done. That's a renovation. But we like, God, we don't want the mess, and we want everything nice and tidy. And he wants to do that. He wants to, if we can hang on through the mess, he will bring the miracles. And in the church of Corinth, they made their own mess. And let me just stop here and tell you, you can even make your own mess. And how many know that God can still make a miracle out of your mess? I said, God can still make a miracle out of your mess. You can get yourself into a mess. You can make some wrong decisions and choices and find yourself in a situation where it's a mess. If I could get you to just trust God and hang on, he can make a miracle out of your mess. Your marriage may be a mess, but God can make a miracle out of that mess. You may have a child that is a mess this morning. They've got themselves into a mess. Let me tell you today, God can make a miracle out of that situation. He can bring a miracle out of that mess. America is a mess, but I believe God can bring revival and He can bring a miracle. How many say, send it, Lord, send it. Let it happen, Jesus. That's what He does. He goes to work. And the gifts of the Spirit are tools that the Holy Spirit gives us and helps us to carry out the work of God that He has in our life. Let me explain this to you now. I'll try to give you this. I'm going to do this because I want to give you a mental picture. I do, hanging out with my grandson is like bringing out the youth pastor in me. He just, these little illustrations, and he had this little fire helmet on the other day, and I said, yesterday, and I said, man, reminds me of this illustration. So you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. So a best way to understand this is God the Father is the architect. He's the one that it's in His mind. He's got this whole thing planned out. He's the architect. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan. We tell people that all the time. Jeremiah tells us this. The whole Bible tells us this, that God has a plan for your life. He's got a plan. Those gifts and talents and abilities He's given you, He's given them to you because He's got a plan for you to use them. He has a plan. He has a plan. When He created the heavens and the earth, the waterfalls and the trees and the animals were all in the mind of God, and He spoke it forth. And He, in Genesis 1 and 2, in the beginning, Elohim, God, created the heavens and the earth. He is God. He's the architect. And if you unravel the blueprint, okay, what is He building? What are we supposed to look like? What's the finished product? The blueprint is Jesus Christ. Who does the work? Who's the contractor? The Holy Spirit. I want to give you a mental picture this morning. Do I look like that Martian from Bugs Bunny? The Holy Spirit is the contractor. You have God the Father. He's the architect. You have Jesus Christ as the design. And you have the Holy Spirit as a contractor. When you get saved, listen, young people, hard to take me serious. When you get saved, listen, the Holy Spirit is ready to go to work. Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 2, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the faces of the deep. What was He saying? Put me in, coach. I'm ready to go to work. The Bible says He was just hovering over the chaos. One of the words for when God created the heavens and the earth, there was an arrangement of just coming together. An order needed to come. And there's where the Holy Spirit is introduced to us in the second scripture, second and third scripture of the Bible. And He's the contractor. So when you get saved, you say, yes to Jesus. I believe in You, Lord. And I put my faith in Jesus Christ. He comes into your life and He begins to go to work. And many of you, this is as far as you've gotten. But I'm here to tell you that the Bible says when you get filled with the Holy Spirit then comes into your life. Let me get up here so everybody can see. The Holy Spirit now has a tool belt, and He puts this tool belt on, and He begins to go to work. This is what the Holy Spirit looks like. Take a picture, because I'm taking it off real fast. I want you to get this picture in your mind, because the Holy Spirit isn't a force that gives you goosebumps. He is a worker. He goes to work. He goes to work, and what He uses is the gifts of the Spirit are His tools that He uses. He has the verbal gifts. He has the revelation gifts, and He has the power gifts. These three gifts, these are nine gifts in His tool belt. You need, last week we talked about the revelation gifts. That is things that help us to know something. You need to know how to measure that door. I got a tool for that. You need to know what you need to do in a job situation or something like that. The Bible says if you let the Holy Spirit, get filled with the Holy Spirit, He'll equip you with the tool belt, and He'll give you these words of knowledge. He'll give you these words of wisdom. He'll give you discerning spirits. He'll use the Word of God to cut all kind of things out of you and let the Lord Jesus come into your life and do something new. Not going to get a lot of amens on that one. Hammer. The power gifts helps us do something. And what the Lord, Holy Spirit, begins to do, he begins to get into your heart. He gets into our attitudes. He gets into the way we think, and he begins to want to knock that down, that selfishness. He wants to knock that down. That easily offensive attitude that we've got, always getting hurt, he wants to knock that down. And this other thing that we've been holding on to that seems to be fine, he wants to knock it down. And you may not understand why, but he wants to knock it down because it doesn't fit his new plan he has for you and your family. So power gifts. Melinda used this the other day, making a craft. You ladies were in here. I was banging away. Pop, 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 pop. Hallelujah. So these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're tools that the Lord uses, and he gives us and equips us to carry out his work on planet. How many's ready for a tool belt? How many need some tools in your life? How many need you, that's sooner or later you're gonna be in a situation where your education is not gonna be good enough. Your quick wit, your energy, your youth, your health is not gonna be good enough. You're gonna need some help, and the helper is here to help you. And what he wants to do is he wants to come inside of you, and he don't wanna just sit there with a hard hat and we put his tools to the side because we're afraid of him making a mess. Because you're gonna use these tools, you're gonna make a mess. But if you would just learn to let the Lord guide us and use us, he'll let us have a miracle outside of that mess. How many's with me this morning? Amen. Hallelujah, amen, thank you, Jesus. Now let me give you some of these are the nine gifts, the verbal gifts that help us say something. This is tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy. That's in a tool belt. They help us say something. You wanna communicate, praying in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that it's not just gibberish, it's your spirit praying to God. It's praying mysteries to God. The gift of tongues is given to a church body. And Paul said when that is in operation, you should have a gift of interpretation so everybody knows what's been said. And then the prophetic word is always something that is said and helps us know what to say. Then the revelation gifts, they help us to know something. Discernment, word of knowledge, and the word of wisdom. And I just wanna run these three gifts to you before we get into Acts and look at the atmosphere, is the power gifts. These power gifts help us do something that we need to do with God. God's not gonna tell us to go into all the world. He's not gonna tell us to pray for the sick. He's not gonna tell us to overcome temptation without giving us the tools to do these things. But many, like I said, many can get into the habit of trying to do these things in your own energy, in your own effort. That's why you're getting tired. That's why you're getting burned out. You need the refreshing filling of the Holy Spirit. I said, you need the refreshing filling of the Holy Spirit. Say, God, have your way in my life. Make a mess if you want. Make a mess in my life if you want. Making disciples is messy. Becoming a follower of Christ is a little messy. You may lose some friends. You may lose a little bit of your reputation. You may lose some things that your security blankets. Like that little guy in Charlie Brown, that little blanket he had. What was that, Linus? God may take your blanket from you. Hallelujah. Because he's wanting to, he doesn't just take things away. How many know it's always an upgrade? It's always an upgrade. If we will learn to trust him, the renovation's always gonna look better. The renovation's always gonna look better if we would just trust in him for what he wants to do in our life. Woo, thank you. I'm preaching to myself today. Thank you, Jesus. Let me give you these three, and I want you to know them. And I just need you to know him right now. So he says the gift of faith. Everybody say gift of faith. The gift of faith is different from common saving faith. I want you to know that. You got to understand that. Everybody on planet Earth has faith. Do you know that? There's a scripture in Romans 12. We read it a couple of weeks ago, actually. And it says, as God has dealt to each person a measure of faith. Everybody on planet Earth has the ability to believe. You decide where you put that faith. You decide what you're gonna believe in. You used faith walking in here today and sitting in the chair. You didn't even think about it. You just knew that chair was gonna hold you and you sat down. We use faith all the time. It's a God-given ability to believe. And God has given it to us. You decide where you put it. Some people put it in Islam and Muhammad. That's where they choose to put their faith. Some people put their faith in Buddha, a little fat man. And they put their faith in rubbing his belly. Some put a faith in this and superstitious, and some put a faith in, you know, all kinds of other things, church traditions even. You can put your faith in church traditions. If you're in Hinduism, they put their faith in thousands of gods, reincarnation. They believe they're gonna come back as a cow or some kind of animal. Just don't come back as a deer during deer hunting season and go by me, amen. Hallelujah. They have all, but they believe that. I mean, no, there's people that really believe some of this stuff. You choose what you want to put your faith in. God has dealt every person on planet Earth a measure of faith. You decide what you're going to put your faith in. I choose to put my faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. I said, I choose to put my faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. You choose to put your faith in who you want. Now, this faith is saving faith. This faith is common faith. This faith can also grow. You can grow this faith by reading the word and actually being tested, times of testing. Faith grows when it's tested in a season of waiting. That's how your faith is. It grows. It doesn't grow when everything is going fine. You grow by reading the word and praying and God answering that prayer and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. You grow through worship. One of the first things you learn to do as a Christian is what is worship. Because your whole life, we're not programmed to even say thank you, right? We don't even say thank you hardly today in our culture. You gotta like force yourself to say thank you or get a thank you from somebody, right? We teach our kids that. It's something we naturally don't have. Well, worship is something that you gotta learn how to worship inside of you. The Holy Spirit's wanting to worship. He's wanting you to learn how to worship, so you learn how to do that. That's why the Bible calls out men and says, men, lift up your whole hands and all without doubting and fear. Why does he call men out? Paul, you know, he's just doing it. I think it's because if you get a man, a father serving the Lord, it just impacts the whole family in such a powerful way. And Paul knows that, and he says, come on, men, lift up your hands without doubting. That's just a posture of surrender. Amen. So anyway, you grow in your faith. But the gift of faith is different than common faith. This gift of the Spirit, it's a tool in the tool belt. It helps us when we're in certain situations, and you may believe in Jesus, and you find yourself in a certain situation where you just gotta, you know he can, but you're not sure he will. This is the gift of faith where you need to pray and ask God. This is the definition. It's the supernatural ability to have confidence. Everybody say confidence. To have confidence in the power and promises of God for a specific task. This is when you, like I said, it's not that, you know, everyone, if you got faith, believes God can move a mountain. But the gift of faith is knowing God's gonna move that mountain. You just know. There's just something about you rises up within you and you say, I just know. I don't know how he's gonna do it, but I just know. That's the gift of faith. Had a neighbor, I've seen this, I haven't been used. I pray for this all the time. God, give me this faith. Give me this faith for this. I remember there was a neighbor of mine sick in the hospital. Really, really sick. He was on a breathing tube, younger guy my age. This was just a couple of years ago. And his daughter, real good friends with our daughters, went on vacation together and everything. And I went up to the hospital to pray for him, and he's on that machine. And man, when you walk in those hospitals and you see people like that, how many know that hits your faith? And I remember standing there praying up before you get there. That's what you do. You got to get prayed up before you get there. And I was prayed up, Lord, how do you want this to go? What do you want me to do? And the Lord just gave me this gift of faith. I just knew before I walked into that room that he was gonna be okay. I just had that peace. I don't always have it, but I had it for him on that day. And I walked in and I saw him on that machine, and there, and his family was there, his wife, and everybody was really sad. And I just sat down next to him, and he can hear me, and I begin to talk to him. And I began to pray. I said, we're gonna pray for him. And I began to just pray. And this is what I asked. I said, oh God, give me that faith. I said, oh God, give me that gift of faith that I know that you got, that you can raise, because I know you can raise him up. And what a testimony it's going to be to this family. And I pray, oh God, do it. And I'm telling you what, there was something that just rose up within me. It was just a perfect peace. And I said it, and I wouldn't say it if I didn't have it, but I had it that day, and I know I did. And I said, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be off that machine. Now, how many know that's a... You don't say that unless you know, amen, because you can make more of a mess. Come on, somebody. I knew it, though, man. When I said it, it's like God just, I knew it even more after I said it. Man, tears begin to fall and cry in the family, and I just felt the power of God, and he's sitting there and his eyes are open. Amen. What happened the very next day? They removed the breathing tube and he went home. Why? The gift of faith. It's the gift of faith. It's the gift of faith. How many need the gift of faith today? How many are believing for something in your life where you need the gift of faith? You can pray and say, God, give me this gift of faith. Oh, Lord, I know you can, but I want to know that you will. Give me that, oh God, give me that tool, oh Holy Spirit, and watch him go to work in your life. Hallelujah. Heaven is building. I could go on and on and on about the gift of faith. Hallelujah. It's a gift of faith. The other one is working of miracles. They're supernatural occurrences brought about by the intervention of God. That's a working of miracle. How many know that we serve a supernatural God? It should not be something that is like unbelievable that God can do a miracle. Bring it to the personal level. You got a loved one that's dealing with addiction or dealing with problems. Listen, we're asking the God that put the stars in heaven, who created the heavens and the earth. Why does it seem to be so impossible to believe that God can bring change to a person's life? It is nothing. He could do it in a moment. I've seen him do it. I'm a witness of it. Many of you are. Working of miracle. This is a supernatural act of God. This is Moses parting the Red Sea, praying, oh God, that he would do these miracles, and he parted the Red Sea. This is David and Goliath. This is the early church that's being used of God and doing miracles like crazy. How many's ever seen a miracle? Amen. They work, they happen. There's miracles here in this church. One of the biggest miracles I ever saw was back when we went to Honduras before COVID. It was one of the roughest missions trips we've ever been on. It was a tough one. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It was a tough one. And we went all the way up to this village called Florida, and it was a remote village up there. And we're doing this outside service, and man, I'm preaching, and these bugs are like helicopters coming at you. I'm preaching Jesus, and a dog, a wild dog running around. It was wild. We were full of dust from being there was a dirt road for like 3 hours, and the van and the bus got filled with, it was one of those situations. I was exhausted, and the Lord said, I already knew on the way up there, I was getting a message, because that's how you got to do on mission trips. And the Lord said, I want you to preach about the lame man put in front of the door. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And I said, God, that's a powerful message. I don't feel like preaching that today. I'm going to go to Psalms and talk about, you know, or Isaiah, mount up with wings as eagles, you know. We're going to go easy tonight. And the Lord said, I'm going to do a miracle. I want to do miracles. Oh, we got up there and we're putting the sound in. It's dark and these bugs and we're doing all this. And I'm praying. I began to pray or preach. The only thing I said that the Lord really anointed, everything else was just gibberish, I think, was me. But when I said that, Peter told that man that was laid sick, this is Acts 3. At the gate in front of the church, this man was crippled from birth. And Peter looked at him and said, look at me. And the Bible says the man looked at him. And I said, all you got to do is want what God has for you. All you got to do is believe that God wants to do a miracle in your life. Brother, something happened, and I began to get, before I even got to Peter said, silver and gold. All of a sudden over here, I begin to hear people crying, oh, and this big noise beginning. I was like, what's going on? And Julio, our interpreter, came over there and brought this little 7-year-old girl, and her eyes are this big and crying, and her mom is there and her grandma's there. And they said, this is a blind girl in the village, and tonight God opened up her eyes. Come on, I got my second wind, baby. I threw that jacket off. We began to preach, hallelujah, God's gonna do something. There he was, there it was. In spite of our being tired, in spite of us being fatigued and all of that, God did a miracle. This little girl, he just opened her eye. Why does God do that all the time? I don't know. The scripture says, we read it, he does miracles as he wills when he does it. In the book of Acts, you think everybody got healed? Everything was always cream of the crop? No. There was a time when an angel, Peter and James, got put in jail, and the church was praying for a miracle, and an angel appeared and got Peter out of jail, but James was beheaded. You'll find these all in the Word of God, but I'm here to tell you, we're not told to understand that. We're just told to still put our faith and believe that God has a plan. He's the architect. He's got a plan for everything, even when it doesn't come through the way you want it to come through. Hallelujah. That night, God brought a miracle to her. Gifts of healing, they go hand in hand. All these power gifts are in that tool belt. They work together. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit that He gives us for us to carry out the mission on the earth. When we're going to be praying for folks in a couple of weeks, I want us to pray. We're going to come and meet early at 9 o'clock on that Saturday morning for those that are doing the street ministry for a little bit of training. And this is what we're going to talk about, practical ways how to do it, but mainly to pray. Wouldn't that be awesome that God would just shake this place? Wouldn't that be awesome if God shook the pre-service prayer this morning when we got together? Why did He do that? Because when He brings change, He's going to shake some things up. I'm praying that God shakes our country. I pray that God shakes everything up. There's people, you know, we need a change. We've seen that. We need a change. We need a revival in our country. We need God to pour out His Spirit. And He's sitting there and He's saying, I want to equip the church to do it. It's the church that's going to be used of me in these last days. Hallelujah. Gifts of healings are supernatural enablements to restore God's original design. This is physical, emotional, or spiritual. God uses different methods to heal. He uses medicine to heal. There's a guy in the Bible, Hezekiah, remember that? He needed to be healed, and the Bible told Isaiah the prophet to use holistic healing and healed him. God can bring healing in all kinds of different ways. He does use medicine. He uses diet and exercise. Keep going, Pastor. Come on, keep going. I know, Stephen Furtick, he tells this story. His mom needed both knee replacement surgery. She was a heavy lady and she was overweight. And he shared this with his whole church, talked about this one time. And she was asking for healing. And she said the Lord convicted her and told her she needs to take better care of her temple. I ain't going to get no amens, but I'm just going to tell you. She began to lose some weight and she did not need that surgery. She said the Lord healed her. I'm just going to put it out there and leave it right there, and you pick it up if you want to. Amen. I don't like this guy. Gifts of healing. Gifts of healing will come in different ways. Progressive healings. God healed the lepers, and as they went, they were healed. All of these things. I want to get into Acts there, and as we start to really button this up, how do you create an atmosphere? You know what the gifts are. I gave you them in a nutshell. Pray and meditate and study those scriptures and you'll see them everywhere. But in Acts 4, we find out how these gifts are and operate, how to activate these gifts. And you got to create an environment for these gifts. Are you needing a miracle? Well, miracles just don't happen. You gotta look at the Word of God and find out what they did to get these miracles. And as you read the story, these power gifts, let me say this, are supposed to accompany the gospel. They're supposed to accompany the gospel. And back to the gift of faith. As I mentioned, sometimes God heals now. Sometimes He'll heal, taking people to heaven. What the gift of faith does, also, it helps you move mountains. Watch this. But also, it'll help you go over the mountain. Hebrews chapter 11, let me just drop this in here, says that if you read that wonderful chapter, it's all about faith. And it says that some people got their miracles. Some people were raised from the dead. Some people had their eyes opened. And Hebrews 11 gives us all these examples of mighty miracles. But halfway through the chapter, it turns and it says, and some were killed for their faith. Some were sawn in two. Some died, never receiving the promise on this earth. But yet they receive something better in heaven. So we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off the weight and the sin and run our race with faith. That's still faith, brother. So I didn't get my healing yet, but you're here today. That's still faith. That's worship while you're waiting. That's faith. You're praying while you're waiting. That's faith. You're believing while you're waiting. That's faith. You're praying for others while you're waiting. That's faith. Come on, do I got some folks with that kind of faith today? I'm going to worship anyhow. I'm going to believe it anyhow. Whether you do it today, whether you do it tomorrow, God, it doesn't change. You are still a healer, even if I don't get healed the way I want to get healed. You're still a healer. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, help me. I know we're supposed to be closing, but let me give you this. It's that even if faith. The Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, I've preached this many times. And what do they say? The king said, if you bow down to me, I'll let you live. And they said, I can't bow down to you. I don't care what the culture says. I don't care what the culture does. I don't care if they want to make fun of the Lord Jesus at the Last Supper, at the opening ceremony of Olympics. I'm still not going to bow my knee to this culture that is vulgar and blasphemous at God. And let me just say to people that's on the other side of facing God, you better read ahead in the Bible, brother, because it doesn't end very well for you. But Nebuchadnezzar, everybody in the Bible was, that's the mess. When you begin to live for God, you're going to find yourself anti-culture or counter-cultural, and it's going to cause some pushback when you serve the Lord. And the Hebrew children faced that. And Nebuchadnezzar said, I want you to bow down. I want you to do what everybody else is doing. I want you to believe what everybody else is believing. I want you to go by your feelings, because we've lost common sense. We've lost logic. Now feelings runs the show. The Bible says we don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. And the Hebrew children said, oh, king, I'm not going to bow down, and I'm not going to do what everybody else does. I'm going to worship God. And what did they do? They said, okay, they threw him in a fiery furnace. And I love before they put him in the furnace, they said, any last words? And the three Hebrew children looked at him and said, oh, king, my God is able to deliver me from the fiery furnace. My God is able to bring me out of this furnace. You just don't know. You might have heard of religion. You might have seen some churches in your community. But let me introduce you to the God of heaven who created the mountains and the sea and the trees and humans and everything we have. That's my God. And they said, you can put us in that fiery furnace. But they said, God can deliver us. Everybody say faith. But that very next sentence, let me tell you something. They also looked at him and said this, and this is where the church has lost it. They looked at him and they said, but even if he don't deliver us from the furnace. Woo! Do you feel that today? Even if, come on. Where's my even if people? Come on, where are you at? Even if I don't feel the chills, even if I don't get out of this furnace, even if it don't always go the way I want it to go. Come on, worship him today. Give him that even if worship. Give him that even if worship. Come on, give him that even if worship. Even if he don't do it like I want him to do it. Even if it don't go my way. Even if I lose some friends. Even if I'm the only one in my house standing and believing in Jesus. Even if I'm the only one speaking out. Even if. And the Bible says it put the Hebrew children in the fire. I got to give you the finale. And y'all know what happened. The Bible says he looked in and said, where's this God at? Where's this God at? These little children, these little three Hebrew children, where's the God at? And one of the guys said, hey, sir, I need you to come over here and look in the side window. I said, I need you to come over here and I need you to look in. We got a problem with some of these Christians. We got a problem. They've been confessing Jesus as Lord and they've been believing God. And some of you have been confessing the Lord and trying to live for the Lord at work and live for the Lord at home and live for the Lord in your community. And the enemy has surrounded you and you don't know what to do. The Bible says they looked in and they said, one, two, three. But there's a fourth man in the fire. Come on. And that fourth man don't look like the rest of them. He looks like one of the Son of God. He's one. Jesus. What is that? I'm telling you, that's faith. That's that pit bull faith. I'm from E-Course, that's how we say it. It's the hang on faith to God. I don't know. I don't understand. The Bible says that God said, let them out. And the Bible says when they came out of the furnace, I love what your Bible says. The other people died just from opening up the door. It was so hot. These three men walked out of that place. I know they had some Adidas on. They walked out and the Bible says that they looked over and they did not even smell like smoke. Can I tell you that if you would just hang on through the mess, if you would just hang on through the mess, that God's going to bring a miracle out of the mess. And it's going to be so good, people won't even know you went through what you went through. Some of you are in that season right now. You came through a storm that should have took you out, but you're standing in here today. You're standing in here today with your hands lifted up, with your heart sold out, with your eyes on the Lord, and you don't even smell like what you came through. If that's you, lift those hands to the Lord today and be give him an even if kind of faith this morning. Worship in the house today. Go ahead, worship, worship, worship. Worship, worship in this place. I'm done preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is what I'm going to do. Are you facing a situation that's an impossible need, an impossible situation? I believe that gift of faith, that's what the Holy Spirit wanted us to hear the most today. That's so I followed him. I did not even plan. I talked about the Hebrew children today. But the Lord knows, and this is his church, this is his sermon, this is his ministry. And I know there's some people here that's facing some impossible situations. I want you to get out of your seat, and I want you to step up in this altar, and we're going to believe God that you would receive this gift of faith today, and you're going to be able to make it through whatever it is that you're facing. Come on, that's you. You need to come and get some prayer today. Come, come, come and get some prayer. Fill this front up today. Fill this front up today. Fill it up. Fill it up. Come, come, come. Come, come, come. Those of you that are at home, you need an impossible situation. Come on. I'm going to ask our altar team to make their way up. We're going to begin to pray in Jesus' name. We're going to begin to pray, lift his name up. And the Holy Spirit, the helper, is going to come. He's going to help you. He's going to put that tool belt on. He wants to fill you with his spirit because he wants to fill you with the faith. He wants to fill you with the power. Well, I'm afraid it's going to make a mess. That's okay. Hang on through the mess because there's a miracle on the other side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift those hands to the Lord in Jesus' name. Just that's a posture of worship. We worship you this morning, Jesus. Have your way in this place, Lord. Hallelujah. Just begin to worship him. Just begin to worship him this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Begin to just ask him, fill you with that faith, fill you with his spirit. Come on, just begin to pray. Ask him to fill you in this place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Fill this place, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Fill us, Lord. You, oh God, we want to be like Acts 4. And they pray, oh God who made the heavens and the earth. Come on. God, you made the heavens and the earth. Stretch out your hands and do miracles this morning. Go ahead, altar team, begin to lay hands and begin to pray. We're going to believe God for miracles this morning. We're going to believe God for miracles this morning. We pray for healings. We pray for breakthroughs. Words of knowledge. Words of wisdom. Come on. Even if faith. Come on, great faith. Some of you need that great faith today. That gift of faith. Come on, come on. Jesus. Pray, pray, pray. Go after God. Go after God. Go after God. Ask him. Ask him today. Yes, Lord.
Well, amen and amen. pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people. And you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.